Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Cold Drinks Questions in Christ. My name is Father Parker Love, and I'm a priest for the Archdiocese of Regina, and this is my podcast. In the past, it's been a podcast that talks about faith and popular culture, faith and some great works of literature, faith and whatever I want to talk about. These last few days, though, it's just been a collection of my homilies over Holy Week of 2022, and I'm grateful to be able to present to you my Good Friday homily that comes with some technical difficulties, mainly being recorded on a crappy microphone initially. Also, in addition to that, not actually writing it beforehand and just praying with the readings and speaking off the cuff as I would typically do in a homily makes it a bit harder to record the homily in advance. But I'm grateful to be able to offer it to you. And as always, I hope it leads you deeper into prayer during this great holy time of the year and ask you to pray for me. Okay, take care. God bless. Good Friday looks a lot different than most of the days when we gather as a community. Most of the time when we gather as a Catholic community, we gather to celebrate the Mass, to celebrate the great event when, through the power of prayer, God transforms bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. This great transformation is the presence of God in the world, the Eucharist, the reason for our Catholic faith. We call it, and I repeat over and over again, the source and summit of our faith, the origin and destination, where our faith comes from and where our faith is going. The great mystery of our faith is, this great mystery of our faith is removed from us on Good Friday. We don't celebrate Mass. We still receive communion, and indeed that the communion we share today was consecrated last night at Holy Thursday Mass is a great symbol of the continuation that exists between the two celebrations and the celebration we look forward to tomorrow night and Sunday morning. But the absence of a Mass today is a unique thing. In fact, Good Friday and Holy Saturday are the only 2 days of the year that there is not a Catholic Mass. Sometimes priests need a day off or communities can't gather, but always, everywhere, somewhere in the world, at all times, except Good Friday and Holy Saturday, there is a Mass being celebrated. The great absence of this prayer, of this celebration, of this opportunity for our community to gather is minimized by what we do here today. In this unique way we gather, this unique way we make manifest our prayer and raise our intentions to God. We gather in memorial and commemoration of Jesus' death, this very sad moment in our salvation history. The man Jesus is stripped, beaten, and crucified beside two criminals. Our Lord, who did nothing wrong, is treated with such contempt and violence and evil. Yet in these last moments of Jesus' life, as we hear in the Gospel of St. John today, his focus is not on his suffering. His focus is not on his impending death, but indeed it is on the church, on the community of believers that he will leave behind. So in this great action of prayer and great sacrifice, he also takes the great action of entrusting the church into the grace and providence and protection of his mother Mary, who will be there for a time to journey with the church as a guide and as a leader, as an example of what it is and how it is to follow Christ. Mary, we know, followed Christ her whole life perfectly, from the moments before his death and beyond the moments after his death. Mary is a perfect example of what Christian faith is and how Christian faith should be lived out. Faced with the death of her son, she provides for us a model of how to deal with suffering, how to deal with sadness. Meeting and encountering her son who has been beaten and flogged and is now crucified, there is no description of a profound change in Mary. She continues along in her mission, in her ministry, and in her life as a mother, a disciple, a lover of Jesus. This reveals to us a great acceptance, and in this great acceptance of her suffering, Mary makes present Christ by bearing suffering beside him. She carries out her daily duties, but there can be no denial that this suffering she will carry tangibly throughout the rest of her life. Indeed, the great tradition of the church gives Mary the crown of martyrdom, not because she was killed violently, as the rest of the martyrs in our tradition have been, but because of the great suffering she endured, seeing her son crucified and die on the cross. In this great example of what it is to suffer, we see what it is to bear the wounds of Christ without actually physically bearing the wounds of Christ. We see in this model of discipleship an invitation and a reminder that our suffering, although it is not physically on the cross with Christ, can be similarly offered to the Lord and with the Lord. That our suffering has the opportunity to be a great prayer of supplication to the Lord. An opportunity to bring our suffering as prayer to the Lord as Mary did, and as Isaiah describes when he anticipates how the Messiah will bear our infirmities and carry our diseases in the first reading today. Even if all we can do is suffer beside the Lord, he will use that suffering as a great prayer, as a great invitation to draw deeper and deeper into relationship with him, and deeper into imitation of him. Suffering can, and indeed does, become the holiest part of our lives. Sometimes I think we would like to imagine that holiness is pious things, like kneeling in the church or doing some great act of service and charity. But what the gospel reveals to us today, what the model of Mary shows us today, is that the greatest act of Christian faith is suffering. When we see the hurt and brokenness of the world, but we choose to worship anyway, worship God anyway, this is great Christian faith. When we act not in absence or ignorance of suffering, nor when we expect to see some miraculous removal of suffering, but when we truly see at the base of the cross that God's action is made manifest in the world by suffering. Somehow we see through this suffering and anticipate the glory which is to come, the great glory of the authentic removal of suffering, the great glory that is the plan of our salvation. Somehow the sufferings we endure become the wounds not just of the crucified Christ, but the risen Christ as well. The risen Christ who still bears the wounds of his crucifixion, the risen Christ who still manifests this suffering. Christ is made manifest, the glory of God is made manifest in the sacrificial action that exists beyond the actual time and space of his resurrection and crucifixion. In our own lives, when we bear suffering, and maybe especially when that suffering never seems to go away, somehow God uses that for his glory and goodness when we arrive into the kingdom of heaven. When we are eventually able to celebrate the wedding feast he promises, the great banquet which is foreshadowed when Christ receives wine on the cross in the gospel today and proclaims, "It is finished." In the letter to the Hebrews, it says that we have a great high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses and has been tested as we are, who knows our human experience. God, who is made man, endures the difficulty of human life with us and for us to show us that his glory can be revealed despite the brokenness and hurt of the world. Christ is somehow always there, and somehow perhaps most profoundly in the midst of the suffering, hurt, and in the midst of his crucifixion.